Golf Smarter, number 570, published on December 13, 2016. Keeping your golf swing simple with Jim Samsing.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights to lower your score and raise your golf IQ. To hear the full interview and access hundreds of Golf Smarter episodes, sign up for premium access at golfsmarter.libsyn.com. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Jim.
Fred, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
You were on the PGA Tour, is that correct?
Basically not. I was playing a little bit on the satellite tours and mini tours and that type of thing, and tried a few Monday morning qualifiers, and that was about the extent of it, yes.
And how successful were you?
That's why I'm teaching golf today.
It's not an easy life, though, is it?
No, it really isn't. And back in those days, in the early 70s, the financial rewards weren't quite as good as they are today.
Especially at that second, third level.
Exactly. And then even when you made a cut back then, a lot of times you didn't get a check. You just got the opportunity to play in the following week's tournament, and that was it.
What made you think you could play competitively at that level?
Well, when I was in high school, I had a reasonable game, and then started in the golf business up at Montebello Golf Course with Jimmy Thompson. He worked quite extensively on getting my game in shape. And when we got through with all that work, we thought there was enough armor in the arsenal to go out and try the tour for a while.
Now, you said Montebello, and most people would say, what is a Montebello? But, you know, strangely enough, I know Montebello because I was born and raised in Montebello. It's in Southern California. It's just outside of Los Angeles. And that's where you're from as well, right?
Exactly, yeah.
It's so strange that we're both from Montebello.
It is a small world out
and
there.
And I know we have some listeners in Southern California, and to the folks at Whittier, yo, what's up?
Yeah, good morning.
I'm really fascinated about the tour players touring, you know, guys who try to compete in golf, because you see guys who are scratch golfers all the time on local clubs, kids who grow up with a stick in their hand and they just want to play golf forever. What is it that separates the guys who can make it up to your level that you are at and then to the next level and then not only to the next level, but to the very top? What separates them? If all these guys can shoot par and under on a regular basis, how do you become a great golfer?
I think it's as much as head and desire as anything else. Because we've seen through the years, there's been some that look like they don't have the greatest physical abilities, but they still are able to compete at a very high level. And then you have the condition extremely well. Desire is the passion is there.
What about guys who have meltdowns on a regular basis but have all these skills?
I just got to believe it's something between the left ear and the right ear, Fred. I think there's just something goes on in there that...
The longest 6 inches in golf, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But come on, keep going. I mean, you know, for the hackers, you know, Hackers Unite, for us, how do we... I have no interest in competing. I have no interest in playing for $10 either. But a lot of people don't like to play with me for that. But how, even if you're playing for $10, how do you keep your head there? How do you not beat yourself up?
Basically, it's how you develop your skills and how you think on the golf course. Most people are distracted by either A, the money, or something out there, and they lose the focus on a task at hand, which is swinging a golf club the best they can,
right,
for every shot. Yeah, we all have a tendency to put a game plan together and say we want to start off well because 4, 5, and 6 are tough holes, and if we can get off 1, 2, and 3 pretty good, then we have a good chance of scoring that day. But the only thing you have control over at that point is your tee shot on the first hole. And what happened? Then you play the next one and go from there. We all have a tendency to get ahead of ourselves when we're on the golf course and trying to play holes that we haven't gotten to yet. And I think that's where people lose a lot of their focus. And when they lose that focus, that's when the swing and their game and the score goes right down the tubes.
So lack of focus, playing ahead of yourself. So playing on a course that you're not familiar with may be to your advantage sometimes.
Yes, because you don't have any control or what's going to happen out there, and you just get up and play it a shot at a time. And usually when you do that, you usually play better.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. And one of the other things that you seem to be competing with on an ongoing basis are all the elements of your swing that you're supposed to be working on, making sure you get your hips in, making sure that you're standing properly at address. Don't forget to turn your wrists over a little bit. And there's so many different things that are going on in your head when you're about to make your swing. You're telling me that stuff can get in the way of your scoring as well.
Yeah, whoever coined the phrase should be canonized somewhere, shape, or form. Because that gentleman, when he came up with paralysis from analysis, was the apropos term for golf.
Interesting.
Because people, when you're thinking of all these things, your system cannot do them all, and we just get tied up in knots, and it impedes our ability to swing a club with any kind of flow. And that's the main reason people really have struggle in the game, because they're trying to do too much on the golf course.
So how do we keep it simple? Help me.
Stop thinking. I know, as simple as that sounds.
Okay, that was great. Thanks so much, Jim. It was really wonderful to talk to you.
Yeah, but basically,
I have to think about the next question, let alone, what do you mean? What does that mean, stop thinking?
What happens is that our system is controlled, you know, with the computer up there, and it controls our immune system and how everything in our whole physiological system works. And the more we think, the more stress we put in that system. And what the other thing is IBM can't build a computer big enough to replace what we got between the left ear and the right ear. But at the same time, it only lets us do one thing at a time.
I bet you Apple could build one.
Well, it would have to be too big a one to replace what I got between my left ear and right ear.
Oh, no, they'll make it really small and very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no worries. But that's what people do. They try to multitask, and the brain isn't a multitasking unit. It can only focus and do one thing at a time. And we get all of these different swing thoughts. Back to the target, front to the target, right shoulder down, straight left arm. It throws the computer in a whole state of flux, and it just goes back to doing what it knows what to do. And it doesn't give us an opportunity to get out of our own way and swing the golf club.
And what about young golfers? And I don't necessarily mean children. I mean people who are just picking up the sport. How are they able to keep it simple?
Well, it depends how they have been taught and the information they get. But the best advice I can give is take one thing at a time and work on it. Because physical skill development is very simple. You take one skill, repeat it enough times in succession so you can get ownership of it. And once you get ownership of it, you can make it automatic. And that's the whole thing. It's all about taking individual skills and working on them one at a time to put the package together.
I personally think that if I were to sign up for a series of six lessons, which is a commitment,
mm-hmm.
okay, and I'm a beginning golfer, a new golfer, if I said, okay, I'm going to go out six lessons, and I went out there and my teacher focused on the same thing for four of those lessons,
mm-hmm.
I would feel ripped off.
No, but you want to stay with that teacher because he's not letting you progress to the next step until you've gotten this part first. Because we start with students, or at least I start with students, I make sure that the setup, grip, stance, posture, ball position, alignment are perfect, because that's the foundation we're going to build the golf swing off of. And if it takes three or four lessons to get that in, perfect, because that's the foundation we have to build from in order to get all the other skills in. If that isn't in, progressing into something further than that is just going to be debilitating to the student, because there's no foundation to build, and when things fall apart, he has nothing to go back to.
Yeah, but again, if I were to walk away from my lesson and my spouse said, "So, how'd your lesson go this week?" And I said, "We did the same thing as we did last week. I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere." Plus the fact that, okay, I'm taking a lesson once a week and I'm only getting a chance to get to the driving range for one bucket in between.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's the thing that the instructor can control, how much time and effort you're going to be able to put into it. And that's in the learning process, you know, that the instructors and teachers can give you the information. What you do with it is up to you at that point. And if you're not, if you don't have the time to go out and work on things, then there's going to be a lot of lessons where you're going to come back out and you're going to be doing the same thing over again because you really haven't had a chance to develop any work on a new skill.
And you are currently working for the Bird Golf Academy, correct?
That's correct, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have 2 3-day schools? Is that how that works?
We have 3, 4, and 5-day schools. They run either 6 or 8 hours a day. And we focus on that part of the game. We focus on the fundamentals of the game, the mental side of the game, and the course management side of the game.
And you'll work on the same thing all day long with a person if you feel like they're not getting it?
If it needs to be, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they come back tomorrow, and it's like, oh, boy, you're still, I mean, do you ever throw up your hands and go, here's your money back, you suck?
No, because most people, I mean, we have all ranges of players and all ranges of athletic abilities coming to our schools. And one of the things that we take pride at Bird is that we can adapt our instruction to fit the person's various characteristics. Because none of us have what we call a system. We have the flexibility and have the knowledge of many of the various techniques out there to apply to students when they present certain physical challenges to us and work through those as we go through the schools.
But I want to get back to the brain being the major tool that is in your bag.
Yes.
The brain is the thing that's going to help you become a better golfer more than any swing mechanic that you have.
Exactly, because what it is one of the biggest terms in golf that is a little frustrating to me anyway, is muscle memory, because I'm firmly convinced there is no muscle memory. It's a matter of a series of things that goes on with the computer or the brain that transmits the skills to the various parts of the body that we're working on. And we have to train that to accept the information, transfer the information it's got into a feel that so we can get the mechanics executed at that point.
Do you think that the Golf Channel is doing a disservice to golfers?
I don't think any of it's a disservice, whether it's the Golf Channel, golf magazines, golf videos, whatever the case may be.
Let me clarify the question then, because that was really not a nice thing to say mm-hmm. about the Golf Channel. You know, you have these shows where people call up and go, help me with this, help me with this. And if you're sitting watching the Golf Channel for endless hours, and I'm sure people can do that, mm-hmm. You're going to have a lot of stuff going through your head at any given day or night. Mm-hmm. And it could really mess up with how you perform on the golf course.
Exactly, because there are certain things that when you're going through the various publications and media blitzes about golf, there's a lot of things that are contradictory, and that's, I think, where people get confused with all this, because I don't know how many times you can read how to cure your slice or how to stop three putting and all the different advices that are going on there. And sort out which one is best for you. And I think that's the problem with all the stuff that's coming at folks, is that there's a lot of opposing opinions about things and different ways of doing it, and trying to figure out which one's best for you, I think, is that's the thing that creates the biggest issue for folks.
So what happens when people come to you? Do you get the sense, oh, you've been watching the Golf Channel a lot? You know, and they have these questions. It's like, well, I heard this, and I heard that. Now, am I supposed to do this? Do you get a lot of that you have to try to correct?
We do get a lot of that. We have a few students that have gone to just about every teacher known to man and probably have 17 different philosophies trying to sort out in their golf swing, and they've got a little bit of all of it, and their problem is that they don't know which one to choose on which swing, and that's what leads them to disaster, because they can't figure out which one to use. And what they need to do is find one that they're comfortable with and use that and stay with that particular instructor that they communicate well with and can grasp his ideas and stay with that.
Or her ideas,
yes. And and that's one of the things that people do. They go from teacher to teacher. They read different books or magazines, look at different videos, and they're trying to incorporate a lot of things into their swing that they may not be wired for.
That's an interesting concept. Do you think it's really better for people to pick a teacher and stay with them, or to get the input of many different teachers?
I think what they should do is find somebody that they're comfortable with in communication, can understand what they're talking about, and can transfer the information to a field they can replicate. I think that's more important than trying to figure out all these different philosophies and all these different styles out there, because I think there are a lot of contradictory styles out there in how people swing, how people deliver the information, how people swing the club.
Very interesting. On a personal note here, for me, I've got a situation that's happening to this. We're recording this in the morning, and I'm leaving soon after this. I'm going to play with some business people. I've never met any of them. A friend of mine said, hey, you got to meet this guy. Let's go out and play golf. And it's like, great, let's go out and play golf. And this guy would get it all set up, and my friend then writes back and says, oh, my parents are in town. I can't play. Oh, great. So now I'm going to play with a guy I don't know, I've never met. It's at his country club. Now we're playing at a private course, and he's bringing some other people along, some other business guys. And I'm admittedly, I'm not familiar with, I've played a couple of private courses, but I don't do that a lot. I play a lot of public courses. Is there an etiquette I should know about here?
Yes.
I'm glad I asked.
Yeah. Basically is, you know, first of all is the dress code. They usually always have a dress code and at the clubs. But when you get there, they'll have private brag drop area.
Oh, I'm in a playing etiquette.
Playing etiquette. I'm sorry.
Yeah, playing
with
people.
We can delete all that stuff.
Yeah, right. So I'm talking about a playing etiquette once, you know, we're on the course, and these guys are probably much better golfers than I am, but it's I'm the guest. It's his course. And these are business guys that all the other three know each other. I'm the odd guy out here.
I think the best thing is just be yourself. You know, the etiquette of golf is the etiquette of golf. And he'll probably invite you to go first because you're the new person in the group. But
oh, that's just too much pressure.
Well, you have to tell him that then and say, I prefer going last.
You know, and I think, personally, I think honors, because if you scored best on the last hole, that's backwards. If you had the best round and the best score on the last hole, you should be able to go last and see what everybody else does, makes their mistakes.
Well, no, see, then you get to look at all those bad swings. You get to fit those into your swing and try and execute yours when you get up there.
Oh, so you just say, stay with your momentum.
Exactly. Keep the momentum going.
What do you see as the most common mistakes for the average golfer?
Something in setup. Whether it's alignment, grip, posture, ball position, there's always something wrong in setup.
And so really on the swing, it's not going to matter after that. If you're not setting up properly, everything else is downhill?
Well, what you do if you're not set up properly, you're going to build compensation into your swing for a poor start position, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really adamant about that because my mentor, Jimmy Thompson, who was the head pro at Montebello for a number of years, he really drilled that into all of us as far as you got to get the swing fundamentally sound, and without good fundamentals and repetition of those fundamentals, there's no good golf swing going to exist. And that's what he felt about it. And I subscribe to that theory because it really starts at the setup.
What do you feel is the most common mistake that you see out of the practice range?
Not focusing on one skill at a time. What happens is people will go out and hit four or five balls, or they're going to work on something. They'll hit four or five balls. I've got that. I don't need to work on it. switch gears over to another skill that they want to work on and bounce back and forth between skills and never give one skill enough repetition.
How do they know if they're doing it properly or not?
Well, they use the ball as the result. If the ball's going and they're striking the ball fairly solid and it's going in the direction they want it to go, they figure they're doing it correctly.
Is that a fair gauge? Is that a good measurement?
In some cases, yes, but a lot of cases it's not, because of the fact that a lot of times, as you've seen with people swinging the club, there's some fairly unusual swings out there that produce some pretty good results because of repetition. But if they have worked on their game and had some instruction in the game, they should be able to feel the various things that they're doing in their golf swing to know whether or not they're executing the skills properly.
People should go to the practice range with a plan.
Exactly. They should. And like I tell all my students, if you're going to go to the range, no more than two skills to work on in any one session. And they should work on a backswing skill and a forward swing skill, so they're always working the swing in balance from back to forward.
Oh, interesting. So try to balance it out on whether it's a swing forward and back, but whatever you do, counter it with the opposite thing so you practice both, so you have a better sense?
Exactly. So you always try to work the swing in balance, yes.
Interesting. Do you think that another common problem are misfit clubs? And I don't mean misfits. I mean clubs that are not fitted properly to that player?
Yeah, I believe so, because I started fitting about 15 years ago back in Colorado. And when we first started going through all this, I didn't think there was that much difference in equipment. I figured the manufacturers had done their due diligence and they figured out this was the length of the club and the lie angle of the club for most people playing the game. But as things have changed, the population's changed, the techniques of the swing have changed, that has all changed. And I think it makes a world of difference for people to get the proper equipment in their hand, you bet. Because we do all, at Bird Golf, we fit just about all our students when they come out to do our schools.
It's part of the mandatory process to get fit properly?
Well, some it is, some it depends, because a lot of them have already been pre-fit and with clubs, because it's become such a marketing tool anymore, that people are getting fit to buy new equipment. And so most of the time we get them there, a lot of the folks have already been fit for clubs. I'll just kind of check and make sure the fit's okay for the student and then go from there. But I think fitting is an integral part of playing good golf, no question about it.
What's your favorite drill?
Drill from hell.
I'm afraid to ask.
Yeah. Basically, it has a lot of other names to it. It has the toe-up drill, the half-swing drill, the rope drill. There's a lot of names for it. It's basically a waist-high drill from backswing to forward swing.
Can you walk us through it, please?
Well, basically, when you set up to the ball, your arms and body form a triangle at the setup position.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to stand up here because I want to go through this. Like I said, I'm playing today, and I haven't played in a while because the weather's been crappy, not just here in California, but all over the United States of America.
Well, as we're doing this interview, it's raining here in beautiful Avondale, Arizona.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
See, so everybody's getting it. I was in Vegas last weekend, and I was going to play golf twice, and it never got above 35 degrees during the day.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, so that was a bust. Luckily,
yes.
I got to see Beatles stuff. So, okay, I'm drilling from hell here.
Okay.
Help me out.
So you've got the setup and you've got the arms.
Mm-hmm.
What we do now is move that triangle to the right, assuming you're a right-handed player.
I am.
Okay. And what we want to do there is keep the right arm extended, the gap between the forearms the same. The club should be at waist high. It should be parallel to the ground. And the toe of the club be facing to the sky.
Okay. Okay. Well, you didn't tell me I needed a club in my hand for this.
Well, we got to swing the club to do this thing.
I did ask for a drill, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I didn't ask for a commuter drill.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Kind of silly. Yeah, okay.
And then when that position is arrived at, what we've got is the body, arms, and club relationship is the same as it was at the start position. And all we've done is turn to get to that position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we just rotate that back to waist high, getting the body to turn to face the target, and we're off the right foot. And then we just reinvent the triangle on the other side, where you have the forearms, the gap in the forearms is the same. The right arm, the arms are extended, and the club's in the air, pointing to the sky.
Why do most people end up on their heels? Does that really happen? Not being on the balls of your feet really can throw you off completely, can it?
It depends what they're controlling the club with. If they're not turning properly with their lower body, they'll have a tendency to fall back. If they're pulling through with their arms too much, then they'll have a tendency to fall forward.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, the illustrious over-the-top move will get them kind of falling, staying back on the right foot and falling backwards. And if they're trying to guide the club too much to the target with the handle of the club, they have a tendency to fall forward with it.
Mm-hmm. As a golfer, you've been a golfer all your life, right?
Pretty much.
Okay. As a golfer, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Clear key. Substituting conscious level thinking with another thought when I'm on the golf course. Stop trying to fix every mishit golf shot when I'm playing. And clear key is what's done that for me. Hmm. I think we'll do it for everybody. Because one of the things we have a tendency to do is, and even in practicing, if we miss it a shot, we try to think of the 17,000 things we've heard to fix it and try to fix it right away instead of staying with the skill. What we need to be able to do is to transfer on the golf course all that work we've done on the driving range so we can play and find out how well we've developed our skills and which skills need to be worked on. And I think that's the one thing that's probably helped me as much in my playing as anything else, is not trying to fix while I'm on the golf course and staying on clear keys.
How long have you been practicing that?
About 18 years now.
Once you found out about clear key and you felt like it made you a better player, did you have a burning desire to get back in it competitively?
Well, yes. And what's happened is I had a stroke a number of years ago, about the time I was thinking about going out and playing on the Champions Tour, and that kind of slowed that process down.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but basically, yes, because what it did was it showed me what was holding me back in my early years of playing competitive golf, and it was that gap between the left ear and the right ear.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like you're a better golfer now?
I think I'm playing better, but I don't know. And I'm playing better because of the fact I'm not thinking as much.
Hmm.
All right. Yeah, I guess to answer the question, I'd say yes.
Mm-hmm. So for older and senior players, they shouldn't worry necessarily about the distance anymore. They can still be better golfers, huh? Feel better about their game.
Absolutely. And I think with the senior player, I think a lot of their issues comes from the fact of the old school stuff of the paralysis from analysis thing, and they can't get out of their own way to swing the club. And I think not only with the physical breakdown of the body as we age, but the mental side of it keeps us from playing our best golf as well.
That's really fascinating. What advice do you give to senior players generally?
Basically, with them, you know, is to try to get as much flexible strength as they can build, because we have a tendency to get a little lazy as we get older in our exercising and doing things, because that's the one thing that's going to slow down their game as much as anything, losing some of the flexibility. And so I just advise them just to work hard on staying as flexible as they can, because it's really critical for golf, I feel, for the older player.
And how can you maintain your flexibility or even increase it?
There's a lot of exercises out there that they can use as far as using the cart, leg exercises, stretching exercises. There's I'm sure you've had people on your program that go through all those things, but there's just a myriad of exercises they can use to improve their flexibility and strength.
And are you a proponent of yoga?
Yes, we use it at our schools, actually.
Really?
Yeah, Bird Golf, we provide a yoga program for our students that want to use it any time they want to come out to the schools. So, yeah, I'm a big proponent of it because of the, I know it's given me more flexibility when I do it, and I should be doing it more often. But, yes, it's, I think it's a great thing for all players, not only young and old, to help their flexibility and strength.
Jim, this has been quite enlightening. I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thanks so much.
Fred, it's been my pleasure.
And we'll see you when we come out to the Bird Golf Academy, and hopefully you'll get some more listeners out there as well.
Well, we hope so, and look forward to talking to you again.
Don't forget, you need to download your free Golf Smarter app for iOS or Android so that you can get each new episode of the Golf Smarter podcast downloaded to your device automatically as soon as it's published. And you'll receive notifications that it's ready. Follow us on Twitter at Golf Smarter or join the conversation on our Facebook page. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, I highly urge you to click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.